This is Keith, and you're listening to the Retro Radio Podcast. I usually do a longer introduction, but today's show is a very long one, so let's get started.
Here's the Maxwell House Good News, December 23, 1937, Rosalie.
Maxwell House Coffee presents Good News of 1938. Yes, once more, Maxwell House brings you Good News of 1938. An hour behind the scenes in Hollywood, broadcast direct from Soundstage 30 at the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios. Tonight, all our listeners are to be special guests at a party that is being given on the lot to celebrate the completion of the great new musical picture, Rosalie, with Mr. Louis B. Mayer as host. Other guests at the party will include such stars of Rosalie as Nelson Eddy, Eleanor Powell, Frank Morgan, Ray Bolger, and Alona Massey. You will also hear Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks again, and Meredith Wilson and his orchestra. And now, here's the pleasant young man who will take you out to the party, Jimmy Stewart.
Hello, everybody. Tonight, hello, Meredith.
Hello, Jimmy.
Well, what have you got to start us off with?
Well, Jimmy, tonight we have an arrangement of Who. It's a sort of a concert swing arrangement.
That's great. That's perfect.
Yeah?
Yeah. Now, listen, I've got a great idea to make this first number really stand out, Meredith.
Now, it'll give you a chance to do something distinctive, you know?
Well, we've been doing our best, Jimmy, but what's on your mind?
Well, now, how about making this first number a concerto?
A concerto?
Yeah, yeah, concerto. You know, it's where one instrument plays a solo through the whole number, you know, and the orchestra sort of is an accompaniment.
Oh, you mean you want me to play the number as a piano concerto?
No. The idea I had was more along the lines of Meredith, you know, I play the accordion, and
I don't think it'll work with this number.
No, sure it'll work. I've got a great accordion arrangement to Who, and it'll make the band sound good, you know.
Well, the arrangement we've got won't fit an accordion solo, Jimmy.
Why not?
Well, the accordion's in B-flat, and our arrangement is in E-flat.
E-flat, huh? Well, how many men do you have here tonight?
40.
Well, 40? Well, with all those musicians, you can fake it.
Fake it?
Well, yes. What's a little transposition?
No, Jimmy, no. We can't do it.
Now, listen, my accordion's right outside in the car, and I can get it in just a few minutes.
Oh, you can, eh?
Yeah. I'll be right back.
Well, take your time, Jimmy.
No, I'll hurry right back.
Come on, boys. Quick, let's get the number over before he gets back.
Thank you.
Sounded pretty good without me.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Jimmy. Where's your accordion?
Oh, the doorman wouldn't let me bring it in.
Oh, a music critic.
Yeah, I'm a music critic, man. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to present that impossible little girl we're all so crazy about on our Maxwell House show. I mean, Fanny Bryce's nightmare creation, Baby Snooks.
Snooks, I brought you into this nice store to buy you a nice new hat for Christmas. Understand?
Yes, Daddy.
Oh, miss, I'd like to see a hat for the little girl.
Well, my little lady, what kind of a hat would you like?
Huh?
Would you want a nice sailor hat or a velvet bonnet?
I want a derby.
A derby?
Yes, because my little cousin Harry wears one.
Oh, but darling, boys are dressed like little boys and girls must dress like little girls.
Why?
Miss, will you show the child some hat?
Certainly. What kind of a hat would you like, dear?
I want a derby with a blue bow.
You can't have a derby, but how would you like this little lavender bonnet with ruffles?
Oh. I like it.
You really like it?
Uh-huh.
Shall I pack it up?
No.
Why not?
It ain't got a blue bow.
Well, how would you like this nice little hat with fur on it?
Oh, I like it.
Oh, that's fine. Do you want to try it on?
No.
Why not?
I ain't got a blue bow.
Well, we have no hat with blue bows, but you can have anything else.
Can I have anything else, Daddy?
Oh, of course, Snoot.
Then I want an ice cream cone.
Well, you can't have that. All you can have is a hat.
I want a hat with a blue bow.
They haven't got a hat with a blue bow.
I want an ice cream cone.
Look, I'm going to spank you. You can't have ice cream. They don't sell ice cream in this store.
Why?
Because they don't.
Can I have cherries?
Well, we can put cherries on the hat.
All right.
How many cherries would you like on the hat?
71.
How many?
71 mangies.
Would you like red cherries or purple cherries?
I want real ones.
Oh, why do you want real cherries on the hat?
I don't want to eat them.
Well, you can't have cherries on the hat.
Well, I don't want the hat.
Now, you've got to have a new hat for Christmas. Now, we'll put anything you like on the hat within reason.
All right. I want a Santa Claus on the hat.
A Santa Claus?
Yeah, and chestnuts.
Now, what on earth do you want chestnuts for?
For the Santa Claus.
Oh, very well. Miss, put a Santa Claus and chestnuts and cherries on the hat. Only let's get out of here.
Daddy.
What?
Can I have a plum pudding on the hat?
No. All right. Put a pudding on it.
And an ice cream cone.
No.
And a peppermint stick on the hat.
A peppermint stick? Oh, how do you like that?
I like it.
Miss, have you a peppermint stick?
Yes, we have one in the window. I'll put it on the hat.
Now, Snooks, is there anything else you want?
Yes.
What?
An ice cream cone with a blue bow.
You can't have it. Very well, miss. You might as well put everything on the hat. We'll take it off when we get home.
All right, sir.
Well, Snooks, now are you satisfied?
Sir?
You've got a Santa Claus and chestnuts and real cherries and candies and peppermint sticks and everything else on the hat. Are you satisfied?
Uh-huh.
Do you like the hat?
Uh-huh.
Then shall I pack it up?
No, I'll eat it right here.
Now, Snooks, listen. If you'll be a good girl, I'll take you to the party.
What party, Daddy?
Well, Mr. Mayor is giving a rosary party on the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer lot.
Will I have ice cream?
Yes, they'll have ice cream. Yes, and the Christmas tree.
And can I have a
present? Yes, they'll have everything.
I don't want to go.
You don't want to go? Well, why not? Don't you realize that Mr. Mayer is the head of the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios?
Why?
Oh, come on. Here's Ted Pearson with a word to the wise about good coffee.
Thanks, Jimmy. Friends, I know that a great many of you lately have taken our advice and tried Maxwell House coffee. And if you are among them, then you know what a rare treat in coffee goodness it is. Yes, what real satisfaction, what true pleasure you get from a cup of roaster fresh Maxwell House coffee.
Roaster fresh? What is that? Explain that, Ted.
Well, Jimmy, I imagine a lot of people don't know just what roaster fresh means to them when they buy Maxwell House coffee. So let's take just a minute right now to tell what its advantages really are. When we say that Maxwell House reaches you roaster fresh, we mean that it's taken still warm and fragrant from the roasting ovens and packed in a super vacuum can. A can from which all air has been removed and into which no air can get afterwards to steal away the coffee's flavor. Hence, Maxwell House coffee must reach you just as fresh as the very hour it left the roasting oven. And, of course, no coffee can be fresher than that. Naturally, this means coffee with full flavor and full value. But it has another advantage for you, too. Convenience. Convenience in coffee buying. Now, during this holiday season, you will find many grocers displaying and featuring Maxwell House coffee. It's the time of year you need to buy more than 1 pound at a time. Unfortunately, Maxwell House is one coffee of which you may buy as many cans as you like at a time, and always know that the last can you open will be just as fresh, just as rich and full-bodied as the first can. And not merely days fresh, mind you, but roaster fresh. So this weekend, buy several pounds of Maxwell House for convenience. Then you'll be sure to have on hand plenty of this coffee that's wonderfully delicious, cheering, deeply satisfying. Yes, coffee that's good to the last drop.
Now we're going to move over to stage 28, right across the way, next door to the replica of old Maxwell House we built right here in the lot, where the Rosalie party's going full blast. Listen. Now I want to introduce the host of our party, Vice President in charge of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Productions, a leader to whom the motion picture industry turns in time of stress. But to us at the studio, he's more than that. And busy as he is, he's always ready to listen to our trials and tribulations, give us his kindly, sympathetic advice, and guide us over rocky paths. And in keeping with the spirit of the season, we've asked him to attend our little party tonight. And he'd just like him to lay aside all business so that he'd be able to grant our wish. So that I'm happy to introduce not Mr. Louis B. Mayer, famous motion picture executive, but Louis Mayer, our daddy over at MGM.
Thank you, Jimmy. That was very sweet of you, and I appreciate it. It is sentiments such as you have expressed that makes my job an easy one. It is not often that we who sit behind the desks have the opportunity to personally contact through the medium of radio the millions of fans without whom there would be no motion picture industry. It is a fitting time, this sacred holiday of Christmas, to express the gratitude of Maxwell House and ourselves to our friends who are listening in for their fine support. Support that has encouraged us to build the MGM to the position it has attained. I want you who are listening in to know that our appreciation of this support will be expressed further in a greater effort than ever before to please and entertain you. Our studio has had the honor of giving parties to famous people. This party tonight, however, is one of the most important celebrations to me because it is a party for our own studio family, the people who have just finished the romantic musical picture, Rosalie, a most ambitious production. And to you, our friends, who are listening in, to you, producer Bill McGuire, director Woody Van Dyke, and to Nelson Eddy, Eleanor Powell, Frank Morgan, Ray Bolger, Edna May Oliver, and our newest artist, Ilona Massey, and to everyone connected with Rosalie, from stand-in to stars, I congratulate you all and express my gratitude for a difficult job well done. Now, Jimmy, I would suggest that we start this party with a song and let it be sung by a great singer. On my last trip to Europe, I found his popularity there as great as it is in America. It is my good fortune to take him from the concert stage and bring him before the camera so that millions of fans might enjoy his golden baritone voice. As a man, he measures up to his voice and his personality. Nelson Eddy.
Now, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, Mr. Mack.
Oh, hello, Snooks.
What are all these people here?
Why, we're having a Christmas party.
Is Santa Claus here?
No, but he's here in spirit.
Oh, why?
Because he couldn't be here in person.
I know why he ain't here.
Do you, Snooks?
Yeah. I just saw him on the corner ringing the bell.
Now, run along, Snooks, like a good little girl.
Tell me a story, Mr. Mayor.
I'm sorry, dear, but I'm busy right now. Some other time.
I want to hear a story.
All right. I'll tell you a story. Snooks, the story of Rosalie is one of the most romantic stories for a musical show I've ever heard. It has to do with a beautiful young girl in college at Vassar. She falls in love with a handsome young man from West Point who has to follow her all the way to Romanza. And after many exciting experiences, they finally are married. Isn't that a nice story?
Yes, tell us a minute.
I just told it to you. Of course, you weren't listening.
Yes, I was.
Well, what did I say?
I don't know.
Now run along, Snooks.
Mr. Mayor.
What?
Who's Santa Claus?
Oh, Santa Claus is Kris Kringle.
I thought he was Santa Claus.
Well, he is.
How did you just say he was Kris Kringle?
That's right. He's also known as St. Nicholas.
Do you feel all right, Mr. Mayor?
Why, yes. You see, Santa Claus has three names.
Have you got three names?
No.
Yes, I have, and that's all going next.
Jimmy, will you take this child away and get her a lollipop? Well, as I was saying, for years I've heard it remarked by people on the continent that you've never seen beautiful girls until you visit Budapest. So last summer, I finally visited Budapest. But I must insist right here and now, but solely in the interest of the company. And there I plucked for the screen the fairest flower of the whole continent. She is, in fact, one of the most beautiful girls to be found in all Europe. And on par with her beauty is her marvelous voice and fine acting ability. She has just finished her first picture in America, Rosalie. And when you see her, I'm sure you'll agree with all I say. Tonight, she is here with us, and I'm proud to present Miss Ilona Massey. Miss Massey will sing In the Still of the Night from Rosalie. And now, my friends, I want you to meet another star of Rosalie. This is a young man whom we have brought to pictures from the rich field of musical comedy. A young man who is gifted as a singer, as a dancer, and as a comedian. In the years to come, you will know him well. The talented and versatile Ray Bolger.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Ray, you deserve everything said about you and more. Now, what are you going to do to help us entertain our guests?
Well, I don't know. I was going to do a song, but I didn't want to take the edge off of Nelson Eddy. And then I thought maybe I'd do a little dance, you know. But Eleanor Powell is doing all right with the dancing. So I thought, well, maybe I could be funny. Well, I don't want to hurt Frank Morgan. Of course, I could lead the orchestra, but Mary Gurth Wilson. He's got to make a living. As a matter of fact, the only thing that's left for me is conversation, and I'm not so good at that.
Well, Ray, I wouldn't worry. As far as conversation's concerned, there are a couple of the most brilliant wits in the country here tonight who could give you a few pointers.
Well, I'd certainly like to meet them. Maybe I could learn something about the art of conversation. You know, pick up a an old bromide or two. Who are they?
Jimmy Stewart and Frank Morgan.
Oh,
come on, Jimmy. Frank, you know Ray Bolger.
Yes. Well, how are you?
Say, Frank.
Fancy meeting you here.
Oh, yes.
Say, Frank.
Yes.
By the way, are you any relation to the Pete Morgans in Pittsburgh? No, Ray. I don't know them. But I know some Donnellys in Pittsburgh. They're awfully nice people.
That's so. Well, I don't know any other people in Pittsburgh except the Morgans. Funny you don't know them.
Say, I know some Donnellys.
Oh, you do, Jimmy?
Yeah. Well, they're from Pittsburgh?
No, he's from Atlanta. Great place, Atlanta.
Oh, yes. Yes, a great place. I had an aunt who was born there.
Oh.
Really? Yeah. She still lives there?
No. She's dead, poor soul. Died of a heart attack.
Oh, you know, now that's very odd. I had an aunt who died of a heart attack, too.
Yeah.
How old is your aunt?
53.
Funny, I had an uncle who's 53, the same as your aunt.
Not dead.
No.
53, that's a funny age, isn't it?
Yes, it's very funny. Sort of in between 52 and 54.
Yeah, that's just what I was getting to.
Talking about 54 reminds me, I have the most peculiar telephone number.
Yeah?
5454.
Well, strange about telephone numbers, isn't it? So some of them are easy to remember, and then some of them aren't easy at all.
You know, I have a cousin who works for the telephone company, and she... she sends them very nice to her. Yes.
You know, I'll bet it's a quarter to the hour or a quarter after, you know?
Why?
There's always a lull at a quarter to or a quarter after.
Well, it's just 27 after.
Well, you see?
Yeah.
See? Yeah, it's pretty close, 12 minutes away.
Where do you live, Frank?
Oh, me? I live over near the Terrace Gardens. You know where that is.
Let me see. Is that the big white building past Sunset in the direction of Santa Monica from Hollywood?
No. I know. Sure thing. That's the Chinese Villa.
Oh, isn't that a beautiful building?
Yeah.
I pass it every day and I never get tired of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really don't know it very well. I've just seen it a few times.
Say, did you ever notice that building up on 5th and Mulberry? You know, the one with the red one with the shiny roof on it?
Sure, I've seen that. Frank, weren't you with me one day when I pointed out that building?
Well, yes, come to think of it, I think I was.
You know,
I've got... wasn't very important. Jimmy?
No, mine can wait. You go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, do you remember the day the banks were closed?
Oh, I remember.
Well, the day before that, I was walking along Wilshire right in front of my bank when I tripped and fell. Yeah. Isn't that odd?
Yeah.
The very next day, all the banks were closed.
Must have been a warning of some kind.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you believe in telepathy?
In a way, yes.
Well, I do. Last winter, I was down south, and my wife was living in a house up north. One day, I remembered we forgot to lay in a supply of coal, so I wrote a letter and told her to buy the coal. And, you know, when I came home, she said she was thinking of it even before I wrote. You know, that just can't be accidental.
Oh, no. There's something to it. I don't think it's developed yet.
You know, speaking of people, the trouble with some people is that, well, they're narrow-minded.
Oh, I think you're talking about me?
Well, if the shoe fits, wear it.
Well, so I'm narrow-minded.
No.
You know what you are, don't you?
Wait, now, this has been a very interesting conversation. Now, don't spoil it with an argument.
Well, I know, but he says I'm narrow-minded. I can't let him get away with that.
Oh, but everybody's entitled to their own opinion.
Yes, but not about me, they're not. I mean, don't worry, I'm nobody's fool.
Now, then, why don't you two fellas
come?
Now, don't, it's silly to argue. Come on, Frank, come on.
Well, all right, I'm sorry, Ray.
Me too, Frank. You know, sometimes these discussions get pretty heated, I guess.
Say, why don't we all have lunch in my place tomorrow and continue this conversation?
Well, that's all right with me. I'd
love to come, Jimmy, but I've got to entertain some relatives from out of town. The Browns from Altoona. Terrible bores. Babylon hours about nothing.
Yeah, well, you've got to expect that sort of thing from some people, I guess.
Oh, yeah, sure, you can't.
Well, if we can't get together tomorrow, we'll make it sometime real soon. You know?
Yeah.
So long, folks. This has been real interesting.
So long, Jimmy.
Goodbye.
Yeah, well, goodbye, Ray. Goodbye.
My friends, it is often said that successful artists get there because they are lucky. May I say to you, after years of experience, that when an artist has become a great favorite with the public throughout the world, it is because God has gifted that person with rare talent. Of course, there are the freak momentary successes. Those are accidents. But the permanent success you can put down in your book as an artist blessed with unusual talents. It is our privilege at the studio to bring out and develop these talents, and we are fortunate in having men and women who do this work well. But fundamentally, it depends on the artist and not luck. I'm about to introduce a young lady who was formerly known as a wonderful tap dancer. Today, she's not only applauded as a great dancer, but as a fine actress as well. A lovely, fresh young personality who typifies the American girl so widely admired all over the world. She will sing another Cole Porter hit from Rosalie, "I Have a Strange New Rhythm in My Heart." Eleanor Power.
You've noticed I'm doing a time step all the time. If my walk of late has a syncopated gait, if I start to swing the moment the postman gives the ring, cease your endless chatter and I'll tell you what's the matter. As I gaze in someone's eyes, to my joy I realize I'm a strange my heart. Perhaps as he seems to be a bit more than fond of me, I've a strange new rhythm in my heart. This seems to be I'm talking of goes on repeating, you're in luck, lonesome, you're in love. So I'm always dancing that life somehow is so much sweeter since I found
second to extend the season's greetings to everybody listening in. And I suggest as a part of the celebration, a steaming, fragrant cup of Maxwell House coffee. And I'm sorry. And I hope it'll make your Christmas merry. And while we're enjoying our coffee, Meredith, I'll bring you a cup of coffee if you give us a tune. How about it?
Here it is, Jimmy.
We pause now for station identification. You're listening to KFI, Los Angeles.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're continuing our good news of 1938.
Mr. Mayor.
What now, Snooks?
I don't want to be in the movies.
Look, Snooks, you can't be in the movies. You're cute and sweet and everybody loves you, but you're not exactly pretty and you've got to be pretty to be in the movies.
Well, it better.
Jimmy Stewart, will you please take this child away and get her a peppermint stick?
Ah!
What's the matter now?
I don't want a peppermint.
Well, what do you want?
I
want
to hear Nelson Eddy sing.
All right.
Oh, no.
No sooner said than done. Come on, Nelson. Sing.
Said he couldn't tell jokes because you were the wonderful joke. Now, how about giving us a little joke, huh?
Oh, no, I don't want to do anything, Jimmy. I'm having such a good time here at the party. Why should I work?
Well, I'd think I'd do something, Frank. If you'd want to sing, I'd be glad to play the accordion for you.
The accordion? Oh, no.
So you could, I could play for a little dance. You want to do that?
No. I'd rather.
You can't let your public down, you know.
No, well, that's right. I can't. Well, I'll tell you. I can tell you about what happened at my broker's office the other day.
Oh, you've been dabbling in the market again.
Well, I'd say it was me that was dabbled. You see, it was this way. I was working in a picture at the time, but I got a call from my broker, Hanley Stanford, and so one morning I dropped in to see him.
Well,
hello, Frank. I see you got my message. Come on in. Come on in.
Yeah, well, I think I'm in far enough.
Now, listen, Frank, listen. Wall Street's different now. We've had bull markets and bear markets.
Yes, but this is a skunk market. No one wants to go near it.
Now, wait a minute. Now, take a tip from me, Frank. With a little wise investment, you can get yourself a nest egg and retire.
A nest egg? Well, that sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all I got is $5,000. What would I do with that?
Why, that's plenty. You make out your check and we'll see what we can do.
Oh, well, all right. Maybe this is my lucky day. That retiring business sounds good. I can play golf and I'll take up lacrosse. Here you are.
Okay.
Now, what should I buy?
Don't breathe this to a soul. No. Silver mine. Silver mine.
That's the real stuff.
Oh,
on the inside?
The best.
Well, okay. Buy me 100 shares of silver mine.
Right. Hello? Pick me up 100 shares of silver mine at the market for the account of Frank Morgan.
You don't mind if I sit here and watch my nest egg hatch?
No, no. Go right ahead. Oh, yes? Well, that's fine. Well, Frank, you got it at a great price. $29.
Oh, well, okay. Now, I don't want to be greedy, but I'll tell you. Just sell when it gets to 60.
You're going to get plenty of action with this stuff.
Oh. Gee, there goes the ticker.
Mm-hmm. 110, 112. Sell, sell.
Wait a minute. That's
what?
A PX&R.
Oh, well, never mind the PX&R. What's silver mine?
Say, great news.
Yeah?
Congress passes new bill to devaluate the dollar.
Gee, that ought to be great for silver mine.
Sure.
What is it now?
28.
28, what happened?
Oh, they always fell off on good news.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's 27 now.
Well, I'm here 2 minutes and I'm out $200.
Boy, more good news.
Yes, well, that ought to practically ruin me. What is it now?
25.
25, well, I think you better sell before the next good news.
All you can get now is 24.
24?
23.
23?
21.
What happened to 22?
Wait a minute, Frank. All you can get now is 20.
Yes.
Say, why don't you buy another 100 shares of 20 and even out?
Oh, I won't pay 20. I won't pay 20.
It's up to 21.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's down to 20 again.
Am I glad? But I won't buy it.
It's jumped to 22.
Oh, am I sorry.
Oh, it's back to 21.
Oh, am I glad.
22.
Oh, am I sorry.
21.
Am I glad.
23.
Am I sorry.
The market broke. It's down to 19.
Well, why?
Why, on account of the drought.
Oh, I thought a drought was good.
Yes, I know, but this one spread so far all the wheat got burned. The farmers won't have any money. Down to 16.
Oh, for hell. What am I losing now? Oh,
only $1,300.
Only $1,300?
Now, here's your chance to maneuver. Why don't you sell it and buy it back at 5?
All right, maneuver. Sell it now. And when it goes down to 5, we'll buy 200 shares.
Okay.
Yes.
Sell 100 shares of silver mine at the market. No, sell it, sell it.
Yes, do you mind if I take off my coat?
No, go right ahead.
Yes.
Well, you sold your 100 shares at 16.
Thank heavens I'm out of it. I never want to hear that stock again as long as I live. What is it now?
19.
19?
Uh-huh.
Why did it go up?
Why, the government just promised the farmers relief.
What's the government butting in for? Gee, I ought to buy it back.
There you go, there you go. Now listen.
Yes.
Listen to the advice of Professor Babson Fisher.
Yes.
He says expert opinion leans toward the upside.
Upside.
Providing, of course, the market doesn't get out of hand and lean toward the downside.
Yes. Upside, downside. There's one side they left out, and that's where I'm getting it.
Now, here are further opinions.
Yeah, well, never mind the opinions. Where's silver mine?
22.
Study opinions. While I'm standing here talking, it went up 6 points, and I haven't got it.
Well, you wanted to sell it, didn't you?
Well, who wanted to sell it? You told me I could buy it back at 5.
Oh, you'll never see it at 5 anymore.
No.
They just decide to print new money with silver as a basis. It's 25.
I demand you buy it back.
26. 27.
Get it, for heaven, get it.
Okay. Get me 100 shares of silver mine at the market and call me back.
Yes.
Frank.
Yes.
While we're waiting, I'll show you how to make $150,000 with only $2.50.
$2.50? Are you kidding?
No. Here, I'll sell you a ticket for the Irish sweepstakes.
Oh. You sell lottery tickets, too?
Oh, just a hobby.
Yes, well, my janitor won one of those once. I'll take a crack at that.
Hello? Oh, okay. Well, Frank, you got your 100 shares of silver mine at 29.
Well, that's the second time I got it at 29.
Oh, don't you worry. Wait until that stock market starts moving.
Yes. What is it now?
27 and a half.
Oh. Just a temporary reaction, huh?
Oh, yes. The market strengthens its technical position that way. Down to 24.
24? Oh, boy, is the market strong.
Why, that's marvelous.
Yes.
24 is its resistance level.
Yes.
It'll never break through 24.
No.
Here, read this opinion from our statistician.
Yes. In 1896, silver mines stayed around 24 until 1902. Then in 1910, only 8 years later, it jumped to 24 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Say, that's pretty good resistance point at that. I want a maneuver. Buy me another 100 shares.
Why, 25.
Yeah?
It's jumped to 26.
Well, get it. If you get it at 26, I'll be in 3 points.
Get another 100 silver mine at market price and call me back.
Yes, well, that was a maneuver, wasn't it?
Yeah. You're becoming quite a trader.
Yes.
Say, Frank, while we're waiting for the answer from the floor,
yeah?
How'd you like to put a fiver on Black Crow?
What's that, a stock?
No, a horse.
Oh, you're a bookie, too, huh? You don't by any chance buy old tin foil.
All right, it's a long pull. With a horse, you get a quicker turnover. Now listen, it's a 6-to-1 show. You can't lose. He's bound to come in.
Well, who could doubt you? All right, I'm in so far. Put this on the nose. Can you imagine if all three come in?
Oh.
The sweepstakes, silver mine, and Black Crow? Boss, these aspirins are good.
Hello? Okay. Boy, Frank, you put it over that time.
Yes?
You got your 100 shares of silver mine back at a great price.
Yes?
29.
29.
Now, take it easy, Frank. Take it easy.
How is it I always pay 29? What's the high for all time?
29.
No.
But it will go higher.
I know.
Oh, boy, big news.
Yes.
Secretary Morgenthau declares embargo on silver. 50% tax on those who have it.
Is that good?
That's bad.
Well, what is it now? Don't tell me.
1,000 shares sold at 27.
No.
Another 2,000 at 24.
24.
Boy, this is the biggest bear raid since 1929. The bottom's dropping out of everything.
Yes.
Can you imagine what they'll do to silver mine? Oh, boy. Silver mine is down to 16. It's dropping 4 points at a time.
Oh,
it's down to 10.
Oh.
It's down to 8.
Oh.
It's down to 5.
Oh.
Say, wait. Now we'll put in your order.
Oh, candy, chewing gum, cigars, cigarettes.
What's the matter?
I'm all wiped out.
You mean you haven't any more money?
All I've got left is a nickel car fare home.
What? You've still got a nickel?
Yes, my last nickel.
Here, take a chance on this punch board.
What?
With a nickel chance, you're liable to win a $10 gold piece. It may be the start of a new fortune.
My last nickel?
Why, sure. You got a 50-50 chance. All the even numbers win.
All right, I'll take a chance. Oh!
What's the matter? What number did you pick?
29.
Nelson Eddy, come up here to the microphone again. I've got some good news for you.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, what is the good news?
Nelson, tomorrow our picture, Rosie, will be shown over 300 theaters in this country. And I think that breaks some kind of a record. Does that make you happy?
Oh, you bet it does, Mr. Mayor.
Well, I know it does me. How long did it take to complete Rosalie?
I know you think too long, but the time really passed very quickly for us. I think the musical score for Rosalie is one of Cole Porter's best. One of the songs, Mr. Mayor, is going to stay in my musical memory a long time.
And what song is that, Nelson?
The title of the picture, Rosalie.
Well, sing it, Nelson, and let Eleanor Powell do the taps.
All right. Help me out. Thank you. life, Eleanor. I'm certainly not in your class as a dancer.
Well, then, how about doing a chorus together?
Well, I never heard of a baritone and tap duet, but I'm game if you are.
Well, what can we lose? But you will have to step up the tempo a little.
Step up the tempo a little faster, you mean? Something like this now.
Pretty nice.
Oh, thank you.
Eleanor, you've played and danced a lot in movies, musical comedies, and nightclubs.
Yes, that's right, Jimmy. I started my career in a nightclub. That was my first engagement. You see, Gus Edwards saw me doing an acrobatic dance on the beach of Atlantic City. He gave me a job in the Ritz Grill. I was 13 years old.
Acrobatic dance? Well, but I thought to tap.
No. I didn't tap in those days, but they told me I'd have to learn if I wanted a job in New York.
So you learned so well you became the world's greatest woman tap dancer.
Well, that's it.
I can imagine you've played just about everything, but Eleanor, have you ever played in a commercial?
Have I ever played in a what?
A commercial.
Oh, no, Jimmy, I haven't. Is it fun? I'd like to try.
All right, Ted. Yes, Ted Pearson, I've fixed it for you. Eleanor, this is Ted.
How do you do?
Hello, Eleanor.
This is your leading man.
Oh, thank you, Jimmy.
Grand. Well, Eleanor, I'm going to ask you some questions. You can just answer them in the way that seems most natural to you. Now, here's the first question. How did you feel along about 5 o'clock on the days after those long rehearsals of Rosalie?
Well, Ted, I felt something like this, I guess.
Mm-hmm. You felt tired. So then what did you do?
Well, I, home to dinner.
You had dinner? And with your dinner, Eleanor, did you by any chance enjoy...
You mean a cup of, Indeed, I did.
So you had a steaming, fragrant cup of Maxwell House coffee with your dinner. Now then, how'd you feel after that? So that's the way you felt after that cup of Maxwell House coffee. Well, thank you, Eleanor Powell. You couldn't have told us better. And friends, it's true, all right, that when you've had a long day and you're feeling tired, maybe a little low, why, there's nothing like a cheery, steaming cup of Maxwell House coffee to keep you stepping. At every mealtime, take time to sit back and enjoy a cup of the coffee with that friendly stimulation that buoys you up and never lets you down. Attention, America and her possessions, and Canada, our cousin in the North. Do you want $5,000? Would you like a trip to Hollywood, a complete tour of the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer studio, a lunch with the stars? All of this may be yours and all free. Listen in on your good news next Thursday, December 30th, for complete particulars.
As a fitting conclusion for our Rosalie party, Meredith Wilson is going to play a composition that was not in Rosalie, but is most suitable to the Christmas spirit and to the MGM Concert Hall. Meredith, tell us about it.
Yes, Jimmy. It's number 7 in our series of the world's 10 favorite melodies. Handel's immortal Hallelujah Chorus from the Messiah.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
just a moment, Jimmy Stewart will tell you about next week's program. But first, I would like to say just this all to all of you. Day after tomorrow, some of you will be having a family Christmas. Husbands, wives, and children. Some of you will have Christmas with your friends. Possibly some of you will be alone. Wherever you are and however you plan to spend this wonderful day, I hope you all have the very happiest Christmas you've ever had and an extra happy New Year, too.
Next Thursday, because listen, who's going to be here, fellas? Myrna Loy, newly crowned queen of the movie. Fanny Bryce will be here again. Wally Berry, Frank Morgan, and a host of others. And of course, Meredith Wilson and his orchestra. And remember, your ticket of admission is just your loyalty to Maxwell House Coffee. That coffee that's good to the last drop. So we'll see you next week. And in the meantime, go to the movies and enjoy yourself. Good night, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Daddy was played by Hanley Stafford. The musical selection, Always and Always, is from the Joan Crawford Spencer Tracy picture, Manica. This is Ted Pearson wishing you.
Presented by the Retro Radio Podcast, retro-otr.com.
Bye.